Welcome to Hannah's Heart.
So Hannah, she's just one of the women who did struggle with infertility in the Bible.
No matter who we are, we can be inspired by the fact that Hannah took her pain to God and God heard her and was with her.
So when she was praying at the temple, she had been weeping and not eating, and her lips were moving, but her eyes were closed, and the priest was like, why are you drunk at the temple?
Yeah. It can become an obsession when you want a child so deeply.
And desiring that baby and to be a mama. Every holiday, every Mother's Day.
This is not a show that's going to promise you a certain outcome. But this is a show that says, however God answers your cry, we know that He's enough. Hi, I'm Kendra, and you are listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. For those of you that are new to this show, this is a show for couples who are struggling with infertility or miscarriage, and however God is building your family, be that through miracle babies, adoption, or you're in a season of waiting, we just want to go with you on that journey and encourage you that God is enough. So normally you hear another sweet voice with me, my amazing co-host, Anne, and as of the date of this recording, she is having her sweet baby Nora. She is actually at the hospital right now. I'm anxiously waiting for pictures. But she will be out with her family, spending time with them for a few weeks. So I will be having some extra special guests on to help fill in while she is out. But we encourage you to keep her in your prayers. So today's guest is someone that I am just so honored to know. The esteemed mom. That's my title for her. Karen White, my mom. She has been on the show one other time. We did a mom episode. But today, let me first introduce the topic and then I'll bring her here on the show. We started a little while ago a series about the Hebrew names of God. And there is a book called To Know Him by Name by Rabbi Snyder that when my husband and I were in the middle of our IVF journey to get the little baby that's in the oven right now, I was just filled with a lot of thoughts of, what are we going to name a baby if we have one? And then I would start thinking, well, we don't know that we're going to have them, so don't go ahead and name them. You're going to get ahead of yourself. You're going to jinx it. And then I would go in this like crazy spiral of like unproductive thoughts, right? And so I told the Lord, I was like, God, I need something to focus my mind on. I know my thoughts are supposed to be fixed on you, but especially during this season of the fertility treatments and then the 2 weeks wait to see if it works, I need to have my mind stayed on you. And the Lord said, well, if you've been thinking about names, how about thinking about my names? Because nothing in this world is a guarantee. It's, you know, it all is temporary, but God's word is eternal. God's name, who He is, never changes. He is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I have found so much peace, so much joy in reading this book. And as I was reading it, I found that each of these names of God, each of these Hebrew names of God, reveal an aspect of His character that is perfect for any circumstance that you're going through, but particularly for couples struggling with infertility or miscarriage. I was like, oh, these are perfect. We've got to talk about these on the show. So today, our topic is going to be about the Hebrew name of God, Yahweh Shalom. And if you go back and listen to the first episode Anne and I did in this series, we talked about the name of God, Yahweh, is God's special personal name. And that has this whole thing. Some people pronounce it Jehovah. So if you've heard Jehovah Shalom or Jehovah Jireh, Yahweh is a more accurate way of pronouncing it. But just in the way history has been treated, a lot of people are more familiar with that name. But as I was thinking about this topic of Jehovah Shalom, my mom came to my mind because she has openly shared with me just one of her constant struggles in the Christian walk has been to seek God in peace and to let go of fear. And I say that's one of your constant struggles, Mom, but it's also, you have had so many battles that you have won and been victorious, and you have been one to always point me when I've struggled with fear. Like, you're always ready with those scriptures. It's like you have this whole arsenal against the enemy to be able to, like, combat all of those things. So first of all, welcome to the show.
So thanks.
And while you haven't
nice to be on.
Personally struggled with infertility, you have so much to add to this topic, and I just absolutely wanted to have your wisdom on. So let's just jump in and talking about this name of God, Yahweh Shalom. Well, first of all, Mom, is there anything just when I brought up the topic that first came to your minds or your thoughts about your journey with the Lord on this issue?
I think women especially deal with so much fear during the time that they have a baby. You're afraid you're going to lose the baby. You just fear the enemy just runs with it, and we go and spiral down really quickly. But we do have an arsenal. We have the word that will keep us rooted on those days when we are losing it.
You know, I think that's really...
I remember one time...
Yeah, go ahead.
I remember one time specifically that I was losing it over losing my phone. I mean, I literally got ballistic, and the Lord had to say, chill. I've got this. I know where your phone is. It's okay.
I think you hit the nail on the head with that. The enemy targets women, and specifically, I think in being moms and fear of our children. Like, I never really specifically struggled with fear until I became a mom, or even just during pregnancy with Eliana, because all of a sudden you feel the weight and the responsibility of being responsible for carrying another human into the world, and what was meant to be a season of life and joy and all of this, the enemy tries to steal that, and you know, he comes to steal, kill, and destroy, and he wants to speak death over you. And one of the areas that we're going to talk a little bit today for those that have struggled with infertility is, you know, a lot of times let's say you've struggled with infertility and then you finally get pregnant. Now there's this intense fear of losing this baby that you finally got, and the enemy just floods your mind with all the what ifs that could happen. Not to mention the fact that pregnancy, you know, there's so much loss. There's so many things that could happen, and just joy gets taken, you know, one bit at a time. For those that maybe haven't struggled with maybe they've never actually conceived, other fears, I think, with infertility, people struggle with the idea of, what if I never have a child? And that's complex. You've got, and I can relate, you know, you have that fear of, will there be anybody there for me in my old age if I never have a child? Because you have this picture of, you know, for me, it was Thanksgiving Day, you know, or Christmas Day, having grandchildren and children and a house full of smells and people running. And that's very different if you never have children. And so you have this, like, will I ever be complete? Will this emptiness always be inside of me? Or I've even struggled with, Lord, will I be able to trust you with my whole heart if you don't give me this thing? I want to. In my mind, I can. But will I actually be able to do it if you don't ever grant this request? So there's a lot of fears tied up into this topic. But tell us about the name specifically of God, Yahweh Shalom. Like, where does it come from?
Well, in the story of Gideon, that is a great story, because here was a fearful nation that had disobeyed God, and the enemy was just constantly, it said their power was oppressive. And I think that a lot of people probably that are listening to this, something is oppressing you. Sometimes it is a fear. Like, I had at one point a cancer diagnosis. When that C word comes out, it's oppressive. It's fear starts to set in, and you think, oh, I'll never see my grandkids. I'll never see this. Gideon was in that spot where he thought, oh, the enemy's coming. They were hiding. He was hiding in an area where they were reaping. And so there was just fear that set in, and God said, I am your peace. I am your peace.
That's so powerful. I want to go read that, because this is the first time in Scripture that this phrase, Yahweh Shalom, is mentioned. And, you know, I think a lot of times we want to connect peace to our circumstance. Like, when everything is good, oh yeah, I have peace. But it takes a truly mature believer in the middle of the storm to say, oh yeah, I'm at peace. And so this is Judges chapter 6. I'm going to just read here. Judges chapter 6, starting in verse 1. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord, and for 7 years he gave them into the hands of the Midianites. Like, I want our listeners to think about that. Like, imagine if some other country invaded the U.S., like China just showed up with guns and were like, we're taking over your city hall. I mean, I cannot imagine the fear that would be in your heart. You know, it's like there's no rules. Our laws don't apply. Like, there's complete lawlessness. You can come to my house and demand anything you want. You can kill my children. You have so much power. That would be terrifying. And this didn't happen once. This happened for 7 years. Because the power of Midian was so, you used this word, oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in the mountains, the clefts, the caves, and the strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, the Amalekites, and the eastern peoples invaded their country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. So I want you guys to picture just like your family. My daughter Eliana and I have been watching Little House on the Prairie. It's clean. It's wonderful. But there's an episode where like their family, the wheat harvest gets destroyed and they're like not sure if they're going to make it to that through the winter because they were counting on that. So imagine your family's entire salary for a year in a field. And then all of a sudden this army comes and there's tents and camels, like just a sea, like a swarm of locusts, and they crush everything. And there's hardly anything left for you. And this, you know, you think, okay, maybe we had enough in store that we can eke by this winter. But it happened 7 years in a row. Midian, it says in verse 6, was so, Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says, I brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of your oppressors. I drove them from you, drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live, but you have not listened to me." So their circumstance are really just tragic right now, and they're focused on them. Rightly so, you know. And Mom, what do you think are some of the things that maybe we as believers get? How do our circumstances keep us from believing that God is with us?
When I looked at just several things, people start questioning, and mm-hmm. you start saying, "Lord," and Gideon starts mm-hmm. even questioning, "God, if you're with me, why has this happened to me? If I did this, I mean, I planned on getting married at 22, and I planned on having 6 kids, and now I'm 27, and I don't have a husband." And and we start getting all these things that build up because we had an idea of how it was going to be. And when you think of even the disciples, after Jesus died and was resurrected, when he first appeared to the disciples, he said, "Peace be with you." They were fearful behind locked doors because they thought Jesus was going to establish the kingdom right then and there. And so they had confusion. And so I think when we set what we think God wants to do and it doesn't line up with his plan, we start questioning everything and fear sets in.
Yeah. And like you said, Gideon was found in the wine press, like literally hiding. He was trying to get what little bit of wheat that he had. And then this angel appears to him. And yet, you know, when you mentioned, so let me read those next coming verses. So it says in verse 11, "The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abizite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a winepress to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' But sir," Gideon replied, "if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all of his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, 'Did not the Lord bring us out of Egypt?' But now the Lord has abandoned us and put us into the hands of Midian." The Lord said to him, "Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?" So let's pause there. So, Mom, first of all, what do you think Gideon's response was to the Lord calling him a mighty warrior?
That he doesn't know me. He must not know me. I am so weak. I can't do this, Lord. I can't do this.
When he hadn't been a warrior, right? Like he wasn't actually, had never fought a battle. No. Is that right?
No. But God sees and knows the future. He knows mm-hmm. the plan that he had for him, because he tells him to go in the strength you have. Mm. And at that point, he was very weak in his eyes. Mm-hmm. Like, you want me to go now when I'm trembling in this wine press? I don't think so.
God sees past our circumstances, and he tries to call the hero out in us. And as I was reading this morning, this thought came to me. There's something in movies called The Call to Adventure. It's like this character that becomes the hero. There's this thing that happens that like calls them to jump into the story. It's like, are you going to do something about this? The world's falling apart. And they get the letter from the president inviting them to come, you know, whatever. So we all have this call to adventure in the midst of our difficult circumstances. So to those listening, what is your call? What is in the midst of your circumstances? Is God going to see the hero in you and say, okay, you might be terrified and not trusting and you feel like everything is falling apart and that you're going to be alone forever, but I call you the one who trusts me no matter what. Will you take up that call to adventure that he has? And I want to go back to that questioning of the Lord, of do you have a plan? Where are you? Have you abandoned us? Of course, in this circumstance, we know why it feels to them like God has abandoned him. He says that, you know, they have not obeyed him. So he kind of removed his blessing from Israel. So in this circumstance, God never really left, but he removed his hand and his blessing. And he's kind of waiting for them to turn. But it bothered me when I was reading it this morning that, you know, he's like, God, where were you? Like, where are these miracles? Like, you know, it felt like Gideon was asking for a mountaintop experience, and he's in the middle of a valley. And there are just these seasons where sometimes, because God disciplines those he loves, he lets us go through rough times in order to get our hearts fixed and focused on him. But God never answered him and said, oh, no, I'm right here, Gideon. I was here the whole time, and blah, blah, blah. Like, he's just kind of quiet on that part. But then I thought, the first thing that he said was, the Lord is with you, mighty warrior. So he's probably just not repeating himself, because he's like, you're just complaining. Like, I just told you, I'm here with you. That's all the information you need to know.
And I'll tell you, God, without God, I don't know how people make it through all the storms. Mm-hmm. I mean, look, the disciples who have been with him the whole time, and the storm is blowing and he's sleeping. You know, mm-hmm. God says, I will give you a peace that the world doesn't understand. You can ride through this storm because I'm going to take you through it. It's okay. And Gideon just didn't get it at this point. Mm-hmm. He didn't really know what God was capable of doing through him, and God was about to show him.
Well, I'm going to finish the story, and then I want to jump into the arsenal of all of the scriptures you have and all of the wisdom for those that do struggle with fear. But let's get to where in this story the phrase Yahweh Shalom comes. So the Lord said to him and said, go in the strength you have, save Israel out of Midian's hands. Am I not sending you? Then we go through the next couple of verses. You know, Gideon's like asking for a sign, like, I want to really make sure that you're in this. And let me skip ahead here. So he makes a sacrifice to the Lord. And then with the tip of the staff that was in his hand, the angel of the Lord touched the meat and the unleavened bread. Fire flared from the rock, consuming the meat and the bread, and the angel of the Lord disappeared. When Gideon realized that it was the angel of the Lord, he exclaimed, "Oh, sovereign Lord, I have seen an angel of the Lord face to face," which many scholars believe that the angel of the Lord is Jesus himself, like a pre-incarnate version of Jesus. But the Lord said to him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You are not going to die." So Gideon built an altar to the Lord there and called it, "The Lord is Peace." To this day, it stands in Ophrah of the Abiezrites. So when he responds and he builds this altar and he calls it, "The Lord is Peace," that is Yahweh Shalom. He's using God's personal name because God told him, "Peace, do not be afraid. You're not going to die." And that reminds me of the story you were just talking about, Jesus saying, "Peace, be still," over the storm. That's one of my favorites in the New Testament. And I think that applies to, like, not just the storms of around us, but sometimes the storms that go on in our heads. Because I feel like in infertility and miscarriage, like, and just as women, like, it's our thoughts that, like, we're smiling on the outside, we're like, "I'm good, I got this," but inside it's turmoil. So, okay, so let's jump in, Mom, to any tips you have or verses that have helped you on your journey.
Right. I want to say one thing first. I remember every time you would go to speak or do a presentation, I'd say, are you anxious? Are you nervous? And you'd say, I'm only anxious till the anointing falls. And that's what the word brings, is his anointing. Mm. And so a lot of common ones you all might know, Philippians 4:6-7, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make your requests known to me. Also in Isaiah 26:3, you keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. If you're getting a bad report on something, we need that perfect peace. And Jesus says, peace I leave you, my peace I give to you. It's not like the world gives. I give to you. Do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let you be fearful. God brings that peace to us. And sometimes we just need to hang on to that word. And whether it's sometimes the anxiety rises up when you think about your loved ones that are walking through something. And we just need that peace that can, the world doesn't give us that kind of peace. Anxiety medicine doesn't give us the peace that the word and that the Father can give us.
That last verse you just read, it feels like it's talking about a kind of counterfeit peace, like not the peace the world gives. I almost see them. It's like in air quotes, like the peace the world gives. Yeah. How does the world respond to issues of maybe infertility or fear of miscarriage or fear of an adoption not going through? Like somebody who is not a believer, what do you think they're, how do they try to find peace in the midst of that? What do they turn to?
Well, people turn to medications. They turn to just trying to fill a void that can't be filled. They're trying to stuff something in, saying, "Oh, since I can't have this, won't work. I'll try this," and they just try lots of things. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, going down wrong paths that cause more anxiety as well.
Yeah, and you know, I think it's, we've got to be careful as believers that not to put our peace in what we think is the answer to or the solution to a problem. So if you're praying through, you know, an adoption and you're terrified that it's going to be a failed adoption, your peace is not in whether or not that adoption goes through. If you're praying through a fertility treatment and you're hoping that that baby is going to, you know, that you're going to conceive and then carry that baby full term, our peace actually doesn't come from that circumstances either. Like, you can have peace. Like, and honestly, that was one of the things that helped me personally when I was struggling with, God, will I still love you with my whole heart if this doesn't work out? And when Eric and I had our first fertility treatment, you know, you spend so much money on and time and effort and on this, and then we found out we lost our two little embryos. In many ways, the hardest day of my life, but in many ways, it was like the testing of my faith proved to me that God was enough. And I can't express how there is a strength now in knowing that I still had peace, even though that was awful. I was able to raise my arms in prayer to the Lord and say, the Lord gives and the Lord takes away. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And that revealed to me, I didn't know that I could trust my own heart, that the Lord was going to hold me through that storm and not trust in my own faith. But there's one of the old hymns talks about prone to wander, Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave the God I love. Here's my heart, God, take and seal it for thy courts above. And I've had consistent fears of like abandoning the Lord, like walking, like, Lord, help me not to ever walk away from my faith. But the Lord takes your heart in those storms. And when you really do have your mind fixed on him, he seals it and he holds you. And you feel this power in the middle of the storm surging through you that you're like, I know this is not me. This is the Yahweh Shalom. This is his presence. And when that peace fills you, it is one of the most powerful forces you will ever feel in your life. And God tells us as believers to seek peace, to pursue it. It's not something dependent on your circumstance. He wants you to have it right now. Well, Mom, we have like a minute and a half left. I would love, would you pray for anyone to close us out who is struggling to find peace in their life?
I sure will. Father, we just thank you that you know everything that is going on in their life, and you will guide them right through it if they hang on to your strong tower.
Mm-hmm.
I pray for those that are just anxious and hurting and even doubting, Lord. Mm-hmm. I pray that you meet them right where they're at today.
Mm-hmm.
May your presence just fill their room. May your presence fill their hearts, Father, as they seek you for answers.
Mm-hmm.
Father, may that peace that only you can give just penetrate into every part of their being, Lord, as they
mm-hmm.
as they trust you to be able to deal with the situation that they've been placed in.
Mm-hmm.
We thank you, Father. We thank you, Jesus, for giving us access to the Father.
Mm-hmm.
You are a mighty God, and we just praise you. Meet every need that they have, Lord.
Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Jesus.
Amen. And thank you so much, Mom, for your wisdom. I wish all of you had a Karen White, but haha, she's my mom. But I'm glad I could share her with you guys for just a little bit today. Thank you guys for listening to Hannah's Heart on American Family Radio. Trust that Yahweh Shalom is enough for you. See you next week.